Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You are on the Tex and Rex Show, special edition for the post-Tampa convention coverage. This is Rex broadcasting to you from somewhere in the south, making his way back from the Tempest in Tampa to the Ninth Circle of Hell, otherwise known as I-495, the beltway around Washington, D.C. And as always, I will be irreverent, relevant, and radioactive, delivering conservatism with a bite. My co-host Tex is on special assignment tonight, so you're stuck with me all alone. The call-in number is 646-649-1013. Again, 646-649-1013. I was hoping that we would be hearing from Dr. Ron Paul in the Tonight Show. Unfortunately, a certain present First Lady ran her speech longer than necessary and started late because she's a rude person who has no respect for other people's time. And so the local news got delayed, and that has pushed the Tonight Show later, so we are not hearing from Dr. Paul just yet. I'm hoping that when Dr. Paul is on the Tonight Show, I might be able to get it to you live by putting the phone up to the television so that you can hear it. We have been having a great conversation tonight on Sammy Sanford's show and then Robert Jetter's, talking about various things post-Tampa and the theft of the Republican nomination by one Willard Mitt Romney with the assistance of John Crying Tan Boehner and Little Rince Cubis. The interesting thing is that a lot of people are going in very different directions. One of the most baffling things that we've experienced is that people who call themselves truly conservative are now saying, well, I guess we have to unite behind Mitt. The real question is, how do you unite behind a guy who stole the nomination? That doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, I want you to think about this. If somebody comes into your house and robs you blind, would you hire that guy to be your local sheriff? Probably not. You'd probably say, hey, you know what? That guy just broke into my house, stole everything I have. I don't think I want him to be the number one law enforcement officer in my town. Well, that's essentially what Willard Mitt Romney did. Now, how do I make that comparison? And for all you alleged conservative Republicans who support Mitt Romney, I'd like to hear from you. 646-649-1013. Maybe you can explain to me how, as a conservative, you're behind this guy. But basically, back in 92, Willard Mitt Romney was a liberal Democrat from Massachusetts who actually voted for Paul Tsongas in a primary where he could have voted for another rhino, George H.W. Bush, or he could have voted for Pat Buchanan. He chose to vote for the Democrat, Paul Tsongas. And then in 1994, when he wanted to run for Senate, he switched parties and became a Republican. And now, not only is he a moderate Republican from Massachusetts, but he's actually the severely conservative nominee of the party. I'm having trouble believing this. This guy broke into our house, and the modern Republican Party is the house that Gingrich built. And he has robbed us blind with the help of the current Speaker of the House, who was one of the chief mutineers behind getting rid of Speaker Gingrich back in 1999, with a little assistance by little Prince Rebus or Rince Pubis or whatever the hell that guy's name is, who apparently grew up as little sword-crossing buddies with Mini Mitt Ryan, the wrong Paul, you know, who's now apparently the VP. I'm not getting this, people. I don't get how you can now tell me that you're conservative, you were behind Gingrich, you were behind Kane, Perry, Bachman, whatever, and now you're telling me, oh, well, I guess I'm going to get behind Mitt Romney. Robert Jetter is on the line from Bard's Logic Political Talk. Robert, does this make sense to you in any way, shape, or form?
It makes absolutely no sense. Not if you're talking about principles, because how can you say that you are a true conservative and go ahead and be able to swallow the pill of voting for Mitt Romney? I mean, unbelievable, especially when there is going to be an alternative and a viable alternative to Mitt Romney and Obama in a third party.
I'm not sure where it's going to go. I'm hoping that we can hear from Ron Paul pretty soon. If these local news TV morons, I'm watching a broadcast out of Norfolk, I think, and it's amazing to me. Whenever I travel around the country and watch the local news, it's full of the same banal conversation. They show you some crap about some animals and then baking cupcakes, and then they try to pretend to do news. I gotta wonder, and maybe someone can call in and help me out with this. What the hell do they put in those journalism degrees? Because, I mean, these people are friggin' morons. I don't understand. I mean, anybody have a clue? 646-649-1013. I'd love to hear from you. I mean, Robert, do you get it? I mean, the local news guys, and I got to say that you probably have a biased opinion because your local news guy happens to be on Fox 19. His name's Ben Swan.
Right.
I think he's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the exceptions. There are a few others. There's actually one on another local news station that is a meteorologist who is not a supporter of global warming. You know, does not think that there's global warming going on or global climate change, as they've changed it to. But those are few, as you said, those are few and far between.
Yeah, it's a wonder to me, and I got to say that I have to say that the Fourth Estate, which is what, you know, we used to call the free press, which in any Democratic or Republican nation, and by Democratic and Republican people, I don't mean the parties. I mean the actual meaning behind those words, democracy being popular vote, Republican being, you know, representative government. In those kinds of societies like ours, you have to have a free press that is vigorous, that challenges government, and that has open debate. Our free press has turned into a propaganda arm for the Republican Party, which is just amazing. And, Robert, we got another caller joining us from 904, which, if I'm not mistaken, is a Jacksonville area code. And I know this now because I've actually had the privilege of passing through that town twice on my adventure from the Ninth Circle of Hell, otherwise known as Washington, D.C., all the way to the Tempest in Tampa, which turned out not to be a tempest. In fact, even Isaac avoided it. It turned out to be a abstention of the nomination. Sammy Sanford, are you on the line with us?
I am live. Here, hold on a second.
Okay. Well, I wish I could hold on, but it's live.
No, and right now I am pissed off. And, I mean, people are afraid to stand up for the Constitution of AU's. I see a lot of real news supporters out there supporting a different candidate.
Well,
I will give you one thing, Arlene. She posted your show on about 20 different pages tonight.
Well, Arlene is awesome. She's a great patriot, and Arlene, we really appreciate it. I know she helped promote your show, Sammy, and Arlene, thank you so much. And I just want everybody to know, you know, even though the Tex and Rex show, with or without Tex, is always irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite.
Well,
it's not about Tex and Rex, and I really appreciate that Arlene has promoted this, because this is about a conversation for all conservatives to have on these airwaves. I might interrupt with some irreverent conversation, but Arlene is fantastic for doing that, Sammy, and thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Okay, and I just want to say, I can fill in for Tex, and...
You got to use more four-letter words.
Hey, they can fucking kiss my ass.
Oh, no. I got another one on my hands. That's fantastic, Sammy. Yeah, this is the Tex and Rex show, so there are no rules. Just for all you listeners out there, the call-in number is 646-649-1013. The one thing that I do demand is that there be absolutely no blasphemy, so you are not allowed to say GD on my airwaves. Other than that, if it's to accentuate your sentence, I've got no problem with it. This is Blog Talk Radio, so I paid for this mic, and feel free to fly at it. If you are a Mitt supporter or an Obama supporter and you call in, if you're respectful and want to engage in conversation, I'm happy to engage in conversation with you. If you start to piss me off, I will mute your mic, but I won't kick you out of here because I'm hoping to subject you to some rational and relevant conversation that might get your head out of your own ass. Speaking of callers, I have a caller on here that has been on hold for a while, and I'm bringing their mic live. I don't have a phone number. I only have a mark that says it begins with DES. DES, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, who are you and what's on your mind?
I'm actually from California. My name is Karl. I'm actually from California.
Karl Marx. Oh, hey, Karl Marx.
That's an unfortunate
name. That's an interesting name.
No, my name is Carl, and I'm from California.
Oh, okay, Carl from California. Fantastic. Go ahead, Carl. What's on your mind?
I actually don't. I'm actually not a Romney supporter or a Obama supporter. I'm just asking. I just want to ask a simple question.
Sure.
How come the Republicans seem to have amnesia when it comes to the last 12 years? Because I've been watching CNN, I've been watching Fox, I've been watching MSNBC, and I've been watching a lot of the shows. I've been listening to a lot of what's on Blog Talk Radio. And it seemed that a lot of people think that the America, as far as the United States, has only been in existence for 3 years. They seem to not remember what's going on before the 3 years. Granted, I understand that Obama's president now, and he needs to stop saying, well, it's Bush's fault and all this. I get that, and I understand that. Mm-hmm. But to a certain extent, because Clinton gave President Bush a surplus, whether we can debate, people can debate on whether it was a surplus or not, but there was money there when Bush took office. And then we were in two wars, and then we had the prescription drug bill that put money on the deficit.
I got it, Carl. Let me just reiterate the question back to you so I make sure I ask the right question. You're saying, why are Republicans appearing to forget that a lot of what has happened in the last 3 years under Obama was a result of things that happened before he got into office, correct?
Correct.
Okay, well, you know what? You're not going to get any disagreement from me. I think that a lot went on before Barack Obama got into office, and he's done such a fantastic job of making it worse. But to a couple of the points that you made, number one, was there a surplus? By economic standards, there was no surplus whatsoever. By Washington, D.C. standards, there was a surplus, and that was a result of four balanced budgets and increased revenues through tax cuts under Clinton, right? Is that what you remember? You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you argue that a balanced budget and tax cuts would be considered part of the revenue function of government, like their revenue bills, in other words?
Totally.
Okay, and are you familiar with the U.S. Constitution?
Yeah.
Okay, and are you aware that revenue bills originate in the House?
Yeah.
And so who was Speaker of the House when Bill Clinton signed all those bills that gave us that wonderful surplus?
Gingrich,
right. So, you know, it's wonderful that we had a liberal Democratic president and a conservative Republican Speaker of the House who were both intellectual powerhouses that were willing to stand up for whatever principles they believed in, but were willing to find common ground to help the American people. I think that's a great thing.
Okay.
And then what happened is Gingrich was ousted from the speakership. Do you know who ousted him? Are you aware of who ousted Gingrich from the speakership?
No, who did?
Okay. Well, he wasn't ousted by Bill Clinton.
Okay.
In fact, I think Bill Clinton is actually pretty happy that Gingrich did what he did because it made Bill Clinton a better president, and, you know, he just wanted to enjoy his position.
Okay.
But it was John Crying Tan Boehner, the current Speaker of the House, little Ricky Santorum, who was running for president, and Lindsey Light and the Loafers Graham, and a bunch of other Republicans who ousted Gingrich. Now, why do you think those guys wanted to get rid of Newt Gingrich?
Because they wanted power in Washington. That's how it all works.
Well, they already had the power. Gingrich gave them the first majority in 40 years back in 1994. Before that, the Republicans didn't have a majority for over 40 years. It was Newt Gingrich who delivered it. But why would they want to get rid of him?
Why would they?
Well, I'm asking you. What do you think?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, he cut spending. He balanced the budget. He worked with a Democratic president, and he was actually rolling back Washington's growth. And in fact, had he been Speaker another 10 years, it's likely that we would have seen a significantly shrinking federal government.
So why would they – since he was doing all that and since conservatives want a smaller government, why would they kick him out?
Well, that makes you have to ask the question. And I'm just letting you know, Carl, right now I'm looking at Jay Leno doing something inappropriate, I'm sure. But as soon as Ron Paul comes on, I'm going to have to break into whatever conversation we are having to put him on the air. Do you believe that Republicans are conservative?
They claim to be conservative to a certain extent.
I know what they claim to be. I'm asking what you believe. Do you believe Republicans are conservative?
To a certain extent, yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Rex. Let me talk to this patriot here.
Okay, go ahead.
He's a patriot for standing up for his beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
I will give him credit for standing up for his beliefs. How do you feel about what Barack Obama has done to our country?
I believe that Barack Obama did inherit something that he knew going in what he was getting into when he became president. He knew that all this was there because he was in the Senate. And I do believe that
he's only been in the Senate for less than a year, or maybe
But still, he was in the Senate. He was still within the Washington belt. And I understand he knew what he was getting into. But I've all these people that I'm hearing that are saying these comments on whatever show they are saying, especially the person that's going to wants to be our vice president, are saying things that are simply just not true.
Well, okay. Barack Obama went to a church that was supported by
the Reverend
Wright. Reverend Wright, and he spoke up and spoke out nasty.
But you know what? A lot of
hold on a second.
Okay,
Let me speak.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me speak.
Okay.
But then he was in the bed with Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn.
Okay.
That's where they got his candidacy going.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you right now, if you vote for Barack Obama once because you want to show you're not a racist, that's fine. But if you vote for Barack Obama the second time around, you're voting because you're stupid.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
In the beginning, you told me you don't support Barack Obama or Mitt Romney. But you seem to be engaged in an apologetic argument on behalf of Barack Obama. Am I right?
It's not an apologetic remark my whole thing is this. A lot of people are saying who he's in bed with and the Reverend Wright thing. And the Reverend Wright thing plagued him for the whole first term, the first year of his presidency.
Oh, that's a lie.
Okay.
I mean, the lamestream media was not even broadcasting.
Okay, but I get that because I watch The View and I watch Elizabeth Hasselbeck, so I get that. But if you really I'm just going to be devil's advocate. Now, if you want to go through history of the United States that's been in history for over 250 years, if you want to go in history and for people who people are associated with, I don't think that anybody in the government would have a clean slate of who they were associated with.
Well, let me stop you right there. The argument of using somebody else's bad behavior to justify somebody else's bad behavior doesn't work on this show. I don't agree with anybody's bad behavior. Look, I don't think about Barack Obama.
But I didn't bring it up. I didn't bring it up. Hello?
Yeah, you're still on.
Okay, I didn't bring it up. The person that talked to me actually is the one that brought up Wright's name.
Well,
I didn't even bring up Wright's name.
He brought it up in relation to Barack Obama, and that's a valid point. But to talk about the history of all of the prior relations at this point is kind of moot, because the fact is that at the moment, Barack Obama is president.
Okay. And at the moment,
okay.
Mitt Romney is the nominee of the Republican Party.
Okay.
And what this show is about, you got to stay on topic, this is my show. What this show is about is why neither one of them is fit for duty, not one or the other.
I understand that. Okay, back to what I was saying. Now, since the Reverend Wright thing, since a lot of the people that were in government are related to the Klan, I don't think Reverend Wright was.
Oh, Lord.
Now,
well,
you know, actually the people in government related to the Klan are Democrats. Barack Obama's
part. As far as
Representative Byrd was the only person in the Democratic Party that was attached to the Klan.
But he was
House of Representatives that are white, that are tight, the Republican Party, that are tied to the Klan.
But
made a misstatement.
Sammy, I agree with you. Let's hear what Carl has to say.
But that person was still attached to him. I don't care what party he was, whether it be Democrat or Republican. The party he was still attached to it. But that's another point. Now, as far as Barack Obama is concerned, and being that he is the current president, a lot of what Ryan has said.
He's not my president.
Okay, I understand that. As far as Ryan has said about that General Motors thing in his home state, that closed under President Bush.
Well, actually, that's not really true. The massive. I mean, look, if you're looking for me to defend George Bush, that's not going to happen.
No, but I was just
so that we're clear, it might be under President Bush because I think that a lot of the chicanery started under Bush, but Obama didn't do anything to correct it. What Barack Obama did was magnify it.
Do you honestly think?
What he did was magnify it.
I understand that, but do you honestly think since at that point in time when President Bush, when Barack Obama came into office and we already had, it was up to $9 trillion in debt. We had already had that $9 trillion.
Yeah, but then now we're sitting at $1,600 trillion.
Okay, I understand.
What is your issue?
Okay, but I seem to be getting interrupted. I haven't said my issue yet. But at that $9 trillion that we were at when Barack Obama came into office, and it is at 16 right now. So you mean to tell me that in the process of him being president, he was just supposed to erase all of that and start over?
Okay. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. That's not a proper statement. Erase all of what? Erase
all
the $9.3 trillion?
Yeah, he was supposed to erase all of the $9.3 trillion and just start over.
Hold on a second. I don't know where you got the idea that was a suggestion, but the problem isn't whether he did or didn't erase the $9.3 million or even intended to. The real problem is why did he add 50% to it?
Because everybody knows how debt is. Unless you pay it down, anything that you start from that point in time.
Oh, okay. What you're saying is that if you're in debt, you need to be cautious with your spending and not go further into debt, right? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I'm not suggesting that at all. What I'm saying is that anybody who came in at that point in time, anybody, whether it be McCain or whether it be President Obama is in right now, anybody who came at that point in time would have added to the debt, not erased it.
Hold on a second. That's not necessarily true because if you're a nation in debt and it's becoming obviously a problem, which began before Barack Obama got into office because both he and McCain went running off the campaign trail to go back and fix it in D.C., okay? If you inherit a debt like that, then what you do is you curtail spending in order to allow the revenues to cover the debt and start paying down the principal. But that's not what Barack Obama did. Barack Obama went on a spending agenda called the stimulus where he paid back all of his Wall Street donors, that are supporting Willard Mitt Romney in this election. So he paid them back with their $1 trillion. And then he went on a boondoggle with a health care program that's going to cost trillions of dollars. And then he decided, to be the president who was going to end the wars. And what he did was he got us inflicted in a couple more wars. And, Carl, I might have to mute your mic because Jay Leno just came back on, and Dr. Paul may be coming out any minute, and then we're going to end this conversation. But I will just mute you. I won't kick you off the show because I would like to engage you in conversation. But the fact is that, again, I'm going to bring up this point. You tell me that you support neither Willard Mitt Romney nor Barack Hussein Obama, but yet you keep coming back to me with apologetic arguments for Barack Obama, which doesn't make any sense to me, because if you know anything about the Tex and Rex show, you know that this show is about conservative principles and conservative candidates. You know that we supported Dr. Newt Gingrich, the former Speaker of the House, in this campaign for a brokered convention, and now that the brokered convention was stolen, we are trying to find a path for constitutional government, which is not with Mitt Romney or with Barack Obama. So if you're looking for sympathy for Barack Obama, you're not going to find it here. If you're looking for sympathy for Mitt Romney or George Bush, you're not going to find it here. So let me ask you this.
Amen.
The upcoming presidential race, who do you support, Carl?
Am I off mute yet?
I never muted you, Carl. I told
okay.
you I would mute
well,
you if Ron Paul came on.
Everybody keep on saying that I haven't done any apologetic thing for anything. I was simply asking questions. I didn't make apologies.
Hold on a second. Rex asked you a question.
Okay, I understand.
Hold on a second. Who do you support?
But what
for
I
the
said,
president of the United States.
The only question I asked was if anybody came into that situation.
Carl,
I answered that question. Now I need you to
answer
my question.
Okay, and so you to say that I'm doing apologetic for Obama or Barack Hussein Obama is not apologetic at all. I was just simply asking a question.
Okay, well, when I say apologetics, I don't mean that you're apologizing for Barack Obama. I'm saying that you're trying to defend his record,
I was just stating facts. Since everybody seemed to be on facts, I was just stating facts.
Well, you're actually stating your opinion, because the very simple fact is that we don't know what any other president would have done. You suspected that anybody else would have added to the debt.
We didn't have $9 trillion in debt. At that point in time?
I'm not talking
what
about
not,
the $9
well,
trillion,
well,
dollars in debt,
trillion
Carl.
Dollars.
I'm talking about the $5 trillion in debt
but
that we've had since Obama's been president. That's what I'm talking about.
I was stating a fact. So you mean to tell me we didn't? I was misinformed.
But,
Sammy, hold on a second.
If I was misinformed of that information, please enlighten me if I was misinformed.
Well, let me be clear. Carl? I don't want you to play these games on my show. You be direct, okay? Carl, I will mute you. You listen to me. We were not talking about the debt that was in place before Barack Obama got into office.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the debt that has been put in place since he's been in office, and he is responsible for that.
Forget the
$9 trillion in debt. I'm against it.
And that was
the Republicans as well as the Democrats that got us there. So you're not going to get me to defend anybody. Let me finish my point, and then I will let you talk, or I will mute your mic. This is my show. You're a guest in my house. You will obey my rules.
Okay, I didn't wish you.
Amen.
I didn't say this. Okay, evidently you got misunderstood what I'm trying to say. Let me say this one more time. I'm not trying to get you to give Barack Obama or George Bush sympathy. I was just simply asking a question. That's all I did.
Okay, Carl.
Well, here, let me
ask the question. But the way that you asked the question was with a tilt towards Barack Obama, and I'm not going to accept that because that's not what we're looking for. But in fairness, I answered your question.
Okay, I understand.
Now you need to answer. Now you need to answer my question, which is let me answer, Carl.
I keep on being in.
This is my show. I'm going to give you one chance to answer my question,
amen.
And then you're going to end up muted. My question to you, Carl, and if you stop talking, you will hear it, Carl. Okay. My question to you is, who do you support in the upcoming presidential election? Answer that question, or your mic's going on mute.
Your question is who I support. I know what the question is, but what?
Okay.
Who do you support? You support Barack Obama. Or do you support Mitt Romney?
I can't say anything if I keep on getting interrupted. So,
you've got the floor.
No.
Answer the question.
Well, then,
answer the question.
And why is he talking then
Carl. Sammy's going to let you answer the question. Please go.
I support the person that can take care of this country, regardless of who it may be.
Which one do you think it is?
Whichever one can make me vote.
Well, which one? You got to vote November 6th. Which one are you voting for?
It's not November 6th yet.
Okay, well, which one are you leaning towards?
I don't know yet. I haven't made a
decision. Are you considering a third party candidate, Carl?
If a third party comes up with something that's viable, yeah.
Would you vote for Ron Paul?
No, I haven't actually, because the person that I did was that Gary Johnson person or whoever he is.
Gary Johnson from the Libertarian Party, right?
Yeah. And I haven't seen anything that he's put out, so I can't say I would vote for him.
Do you have an internet connection? Do you have an internet connection you can do research on yourself for? That's what the rest of us do. That's what we were taught to do, is bet your candidate
and find
out who Gary Johnson is, find out who Ron Paul is, find out who Barack Obama is, find out who Mitt Romney is. I hope to God you don't vote for Mitt Romney. There's nobody here that loves him.
I just said I don't know who I'm voting for. And
okay, Carl,
yeah, then you
Carl,
said
you
no,
voting
no, no, no.
For
then you, hold on. I've already had a run round with him earlier on Obamacare.
I know.
Here's the bottom line. I'm jumping, but here's the bottom line. You're playing games. You're wasting time. You want to go? Why don't you go research some candidates and come back with some facts, and we can have a real conversation. You know, like intelligent people. This is just a game.
Okay, sorry, Rex.
Thanks for pointing that out. Carl, let me ask you a question. Who did you vote for governor in your state?
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No, this is the most recent election.
I didn't vote in the last governorship.
Why didn't you vote?
Neither one of them were saying what I wanted to hear.
So you thought that no option was better than making your voice heard?
Pretty much.
Okay, so you think that silence is acceptable when it comes to the fact that we're sovereign citizens and have a duty to vote?
Well, you know what? I think if I don't believe that anybody is telling me what I need to hear and making me feel that they are a better candidate, I don't feel that I want to vote.
All right, what would your ideal president look like, Carl? I'm going to give you this opportunity to stay on the air, otherwise you're going to get muted.
Excuse me?
What would your ideal presidential candidate, what values would your presidential candidate represent? Is your president for smaller government or bigger government?
Smaller government.
Smaller government. Is your president for higher taxes or lower taxes?
Higher taxes on the rich.
Is your president for audit? No, higher taxes or lower taxes?
Higher taxes on the rich.
Okay, so you believe in taxing people at different rates?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, and who do you consider rich?
Anybody $1 million and over.
Okay, so if I have $1 million of net worth, then I should pay more taxes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, and what if next year I have much lower income?
Then you shouldn't pay as much taxes as you did before.
Oh, I see. So you somehow think that people get wealthy and stay wealthy. Okay, so obviously, so you want a president who's for a graduated income tax scheme. Are you for or against auditing and the Federal Reserve?
The Federal Reserve. I'm against auditing the Federal Reserve.
You're against auditing the Federal Reserve. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you for or against our foreign military interventions?
I think America should mind their own business.
So you think we should not be in foreign military engagement?
I think America should mind their own business.
Okay. Do you believe that it is perfectly fine for a country to murder 4,000 innocent children in the womb of their mother every day?
You're talking about abortion?
No, I'm talking about murdering children inside their mother's womb every day.
He is speaking about abortion.
Okay.
Do you think that's okay?
I think a woman has the right to do with her body whatever she wants.
So a woman has a right to do with her baby whatever she wants.
A woman has the right to do with her body whatever she wants.
Okay. So if we're talking here about child abortion, so we're talking about a pregnant woman with a baby in her belly.
She has the right to kill that baby.
Is that what you're saying?
I've answered that question twice.
You told me a woman has the right to do with her body whatever she chooses. You didn't answer the question about the baby's body. So here's my question to you. If it's okay for a woman to have the right to choose murder, who is it okay to prevent from having a right to choose murder?
A person that's say that one more time.
Okay, I confused you a little bit. All right, let me put it to you this way, Carl. I've had a little bit of fun talking with you, primarily because I'm waiting for Dr. Ron Paul to come on The Tonight Show, and I have a suspicion that somehow Jay Leno's found a reason not to have him on there. But either way, it's been fun talking to you. You're kind of fun to play with, like a drunken kitten. It's kind of fun to bat you around a little bit. But it seems to me that you're not sure what your principles are, And I don't think that you actually read the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and understood what they meant. So here's, hold on, Carl, hold on a second. Carl, you're always welcome on this show if you play by my rules. This is my microphone, and I paid for it. You will be respectful, or I'll mute you. I'm going to tell you this. I'm happy to have you on the show with me, but there are a couple of things you have to do. Carl, don't try to shout me down on my show. I've got the mute button, and I will. Okay, that's it, Carl. Carl, you crossed the line. Carl, I muted you. Okay, you're still there. Maybe you're hearing me, but I had to mute you because you're rude. Okay, this is my show, and you will talk respectfully to me and my guests, or I'll hang up on you. Now, this is what I'm going to give you as a homework assignment, and we'll see if you actually have the sense to go do it. I want you to read the Declaration of Independence, not someone's interpretation, but I actually want you to read it for yourself, read the U.S. Constitution, learn about all of the candidates that are currently running for president, which means the Constitution Party, the Conservative Party, the Libertarian Party, the America's Party, and Willard, Mitt Romney, and Barack Hussein Obama, and then feel free to call back in and we can have an intelligent conversation. Does that sound agreeable to you?
The Constitution is not in the abortion is not in the Constitution.
Sure it is.
No, it's not.
It's in the Declaration of Independence.
Declaration of Independence says a woman has the right, the government has the right to tell a woman what to do.
No, it says that we are given certain unalienable rights by our Creator, and that among these are life.
That doesn't have anything to do with abortion.
Well, actually, it does. Carl, I'm talking. You listen.
Okay,
When a woman has an abortion, okay, the abortion is of a baby that is in her womb. An abortion means killing the baby.
Okay.
So that baby has no right to life, which is a violation of the Declaration of Independence. Now, again, what do you think about the homework assignment that I gave you of actually reading those documents, learning about the candidates, and then coming back on the show?
Okay. Can I ask a question?
No, you can answer my question.
If the government came in your house...
You can answer my question, Carl.
If the government came in your house and told you you couldn't do anything, if the government came in your house and told you you couldn't do anything, would you tell the government to mind their own business, or would you say, okay,
You can't shoot another person in your house, so the government has the right to stop it. So what's your point?
You can't actually shoot somebody.
If you come in my house, I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to tell you plain and simple. I'm going to shoot you.
Actually,
if you break in, let's put the disclaimer. If you're breaking in, not if you're just walking in. You got to put that disclaimer out there for people out there who might misconstrue something that somebody said.
Thank you for the clarification, Robert. Let me ask you a question. Why did you call into the Tex and Rex show tonight?
Because I wanted to make you guys upset, and I succeeded in what I was doing.
You think we're upset?
Yep.
Oh, you hear people laughing, and you think we're upset?
Anybody who puts me on mute, that means they're upset. And
I only put you on mute because the people who are listening to the show don't want to hear you speak over me. That's all.
He puts you on mute because he can.
I made you upset, and I'm glad I did my job. That's what I was there for.
Hey, you know what? If you decided to call in to upset us, that's your prerogative, and I accepted your call. Unfortunately, your victory is a little ill-timed because we're actually laughing at you. We've been playing with your head like a drunken kitten, Carl. Carl, what you are is a person with no principles who has nothing better to do while the country's falling apart than call in to goof around with some guy on Blog Talk Radio. And I strongly suggest that you take a knee and you ask Almighty God for mercy, because it sounds to me like you are one disturbed, small-minded individual.
Amen, Rex.
You know, here's the thing. You know what, folks? Here's what I got to say.
No.
Sammy, hold on,
little gonads.
Yeah. Oh, no, hold on.
Small-balled person to interrupt conservative talk.
It's his job.
Oh, he gets paid to do this?
Here's the thing.
And he has no gonads. He has shit. If he had gonads, he would tell you his real name, give you his real phone number, and everything else. And I doubt he does that.
You're probably right, Sammy, but frankly, I don't want to know his real name. I don't care about his phone number, and it's really irrelevant. By the way, Carl is still on. I just muted him because I wanted to hear what Robert and you and Chris had to say. Why don't you guys chime off in that order? Robert, and then Chris, and then Sammy.
Well, frankly, I got to say this. if Carl's biggest accomplishment, if he's really accomplished what he's wanted to do, and if his goal was to just simply make us mad, and he feels great that he made us mad, is that what kind of small impact does that guy have to have in anyone's life? If the best he can do, if the best impact he could do on someone's life is to make him mad for a few moments. I mean, really, how pathetic. I mean, you're that happy because, ooh, I upset somebody. I accomplished my goal. Really, there is much larger goals to be done.
I am not mad.
If that's the only impact that you can have, you know, I actually feel sorry for you. I feel sorry if it's the only thing that you could do to feel that you've accomplished something is by making someone angry.
Yeah.
Then, man, I feel sorry for you. It's pathetic.
Robert, unfortunately, he has not succeeded because we're actually laughing at Carl. So I have to say, Carl, thanks for calling in because you've been highly entertaining. Number two, I think that you're wasting our time, but actually, I'm just appreciative that you called in and let us have some fun, because the only reason that I'm doing a show tonight as opposed to my usual Friday and Saturday is because I was hoping that Jay Leno was going to have Dr. Paul on, but so far he's done everything but. So I needed something to fill the air, and you were a lot of fun, so thanks for calling in. Chris, go ahead and sound off.
Yeah, Jay Leno does have Paul on. I've seen some pre-clips of it already.
Okay, well, I'm still waiting.
He said
So anyway, Carl keeps, I made you mad, you are mad. That's some sick stuff there, boys. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt because I had already had it in with the guy on Obamacare on Robert's show, so I didn't have any patience, sorry.
I should have read
that you were having fun because you were, I thought.
honestly, I was just filibuster. You know, he was helping me and fill in time on the show until Dr. Paul comes on. We got an hour and 20 minutes left of show, so I'm hoping that Dr. Paul comes on soon. We can have a good discussion about it. Carl, are you sad that you didn't make us angry?
Am I off mute yet?
Yeah, I unmuted you when you stopped running your mouth.
Actually, I'm not sad because I did make you mad, because if I didn't make you mad, why are you guys still talking about it?
We're laughing at you.
We're
having fun.
We're laughing at you.
Thank you for
entertaining. We talk about people all the time and have fun.
People seem to think another person is pathetic and sad and what you're they
Wait, you need to go.
You guys...
You need to go. Hey, Carl, why are you still on the air? Look, I never kicked you, so why are you still here?
Because
I know who you are. You're exposed. I know you're IP. Hey, Carl, do you get paid by the hour or every quarter hour?
I get paid by the hour.
Okay, so in other words, if I keep you on for 20 minutes more or 20 minutes less, you get paid the same?
Actually, it'd be like $25 because this is overtime. I'm here to make
okay.
them, I'm here to piss conservatives off, and I see me doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, what way post, you're doing an awesome job.
Thank you. Thank you for the compliment.
So you're here to piss conservatives off.
You are a scumbag.
And I seem to be doing a great job, because you guys are talking about me.
This is your impression of people who are pissed off? This is what you think someone acts like? You have no fucking idea what I'm like when I'm pissed off, Carl. I'm actually in a very jovial mood.
No, if you're in my house, you're going to understand.
Hey, wait, post.
Hold on a second. I've never heard the Texan Rex show before. This is my house. You're going to understand my rules.
Carl, have you ever heard the Texan Rex show before?
That sounded angry to me.
Have you ever heard the Texan Rex show before, Carl?
Hell no.
Well, that's fine. You haven't heard me angry, Carl.
Piss you guys off and I succeeded. Thank you for making my life.
Hey, Carl, here's the deal. I'm going to thank you once again for calling in to entertain us. I'm going to go ahead and mute you. If you have something to say that's actually serious, why don't you go ahead and send me a message in chat and I'll consider taking you off mute. I'm respectful, so I won't actually kick you off my airwaves. But I don't want you on my show anymore because I want to have an intelligent conversation with intelligent people. But you're welcome to listen. Now, if we use big words that you have trouble following, I'm going to strongly suggest you either open up a dictionary or maybe you can try to put the word in Google and look up the meaning of the word.
And then
if you can't follow along,
then you know, maybe in chat you can say, you know, what does baffled mean? I don't know what that means. And I'll explain it to you, okay? Because I don't want you to get lost, but I also don't want you to take up the airwaves because we have listeners actually want to hear some substantial conversation. And since you already admitted that you called in to give us a prank and that you're incapable of any kind of intellectual conversation, I'm going to go ahead and mute you now, but I'm going to give you the last word before I get rid of you. So, Carl, the floor is yours. It's your last chance.
You guys are a bunch of stunt bitches, but I'm thank you that you allowed me to do this. I made you mad, and that's all I was here to do.
Wait!
Okay. Well, Carl, not only are you intellectually devoid, but you're also somewhat delusional, because we're obviously not pissed off. You're now on mute, so if you need to send me a message, please do so in chat, because I'm not going to unmute you for a while, because you're kind of boring. Gentlemen,
you
know, go ahead, Robert.
Well, as you say, you know, Rex, two things. One, obviously he did not accomplish his goal. And if that was indeed his goal, was just to get us mad, and that's how he gets a sense of accomplishment, I mean, what kind of contribution to society is that, one? Two is, if his goal was to truly just get us upset, then it just shows how much of a true, utter, a complete failure it is at his job. I mean, if this guy can't even get people upset, I mean, that really shows the lack of skill set, in my opinion.
No, his name is not a guy. His name is Wade Post.
Wade
Post?
Well,
I've already got an IM saying that was Wade Post.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't care whether his name's Carl, whatever, Chase. Wade Post, it really is irrelevant. By the way, if anybody's upset about what he's doing in chat, let me know. I'll boot him. But I typically don't like to boot people, and I don't like to kick people off the show. But I will mute people because not every listener needs to hear what they have to say. If it's in chat, you can just choose to ignore reading it. But the listener
Amen.
Don't have to be subject to hearing it. The interesting thing is, and this I find interesting, now whether this guy, Carl, is a professional agitator. Yeah, whether he's a professional agitator or whether he's just trying to have some fun or, you know, whether his mommy didn't hug him enough when he was little, I'm not sure what the issue is. But I can tell you that it's funny because I think, and you all have heard me get upset before, I haven't even come close to getting upset tonight. But Carl seems to think that I'm upset, and that's okay. If that makes him happy, I've got no problem with that. The real discussion, though, is why are these people bothering with this little teeny-weeny blog talk radio show? And I'm going to tell you what it is, and I'm going to throw it out for you gentlemen to comment on it until Dr. Paul comes on Jay Leno. I think they're bothering with us because they feel that they can paint the Ron Paul revolution as fringe conspiracy theory tinfoil hat-wearing psychos. But what they're afraid is that conservatives, real conservatives, those who supported Speaker Gingrich, might actually give legitimacy to the Ron Paul movement and actually beat their rhino douchebag or their Marxist current idiot in the White House. So I think they're coming after us small vocal minority because we might actually build a bridge with the Ron Paul revolution and get conservatives to come over there, and so they're scared shitless. I'll throw it out to you guys, and why don't we start with the one who got on the most recently, Chris, and then we'll go to Sammy and then Robert. Chris? All right, Sammy?
Okay, yes. They are fucking, excuse my French, afraid of us.
This is the Texan Rex Show, Sammy. If you want to drop an F-bomb, feel free.
They are afraid of us, and I mean, they're afraid of me. I mean, they've been coming at me like, I don't know what am I doing if Romney really has a nomination locked up? Why are they worried about my little radio show? Yes, does Mitt Romney call in to Romney Radio? Hell no. Does Newt Gingrich call into my show? Yes, he does.
That's why they're upset.
He spent 18 minutes on my show. Did you listen to the whole clip finally yet?
Yes.
I mean, I was very nice to him, and he was pissed off at what happened in Tampa. You heard about the broker convention, and he knew we were working on that. I called that out on the show that Donna Kaiser and everybody else had been working on. And, I mean, I cannot believe these idiots can think that are turning over from the Newt Gingrich camp now to support Mitt Twitt. I mean, it blows my mind. How can they do that once they've seen the RNC stole the convention from the GOP? The RNC left me. I'm still in the GOP. They need to get the hell out of here, and rinse pubic hair needs to go fly a kite somewhere. I'm sorry. I'm pissed off, and you know damn well I'm pissed off. Because
yeah,
you
but
were right there with me.
Sammy, I know you're pissed off, but I know it's not because of Carl Douchebag. I think you're pissed off because of what happened in Tampa. And
Amen.
Listen, I'm gonna just put this out real quick. I just removed somebody from chat. Hey, it's pretty easy on this show. This is a Text and Rec show. We don't have too many rules. I won't tolerate blasphemy, and I will not tolerate personal attacks against my guests, whether in chat or on the air. So for all you mittards out there, call in and challenge me. I'll go toe-to-toe with you. And, yes, I will mute you when you get shrill because it's my show. If you don't like it, get your own show, okay? But you will not attack any of my guests on the air or in my chat. So let's be clear about that.
Oh, somebody was attacking me.
Not you. They were attacking one of the ladies on our show. Okay.
Oh, Lord.
So you know, that's not acceptable. Yeah, that's not acceptable, and I won't put up with that. You know, there's free speech, but this is my show. It's my mic, my rules. That's the way it is. You want to do something like that?
Amen.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead, Sammy.
No, we're going. No, I'm done.
All right. Up next is Ron Paul. So after this commercial break, we're going to try to get Dr. Paul in the air. Robert, did you want to chime in?
Sure. And, you know, a lot of it is just what, you know, the others have said, is that it's obvious that people are, you know, calling in and people are trying to denigrate us because instead of trying to destroy the message, which they cannot, they try to destroy the messenger. And what they try to do is they come in and do what, you know, whatever the guy's name is, and you're right, it doesn't matter. What they try to do is distract, you know, try to say, oh, well, you know, I was trying to get you angry, blah, blah, blah. But distract us from the message, because for every minute that they try to distract us, you know, that's one more minute that we're not getting much-needed information out, you know, to the public. So,
yeah,
you know,
I agree with you, Robert.
They're just a waste of time.
Yeah, they are. Now, I got to be clear that, you know, it was fun because I really thought Ron Paul would be on earlier in the show. I mean, I'm sorry, but if you're Jay Leno and it's the night of the DNC convention and you got Ron Paul on your show, you might want to lead with that and build up the momentum. But who knows? Maybe he was saving it, hoping he would bait us through all the other insipid guests. But either way, and I don't know who the guests were tonight, so if it's somebody you like, please, I didn't mean any offense. I wasn't paying attention. Yeah, they do come and try to waste our time. And, you know, sometimes it's fun to play with their heads like a drunken kitten. It's kind of entertaining. But the fact is that there is real work to do. And tonight the real work is to take a serious look at what Ron Paul's announcement is going to be, to figure out what he has in mind and see if that's a potential option for going forward. Now, remember something. Where we are now, we got to expect to be taking flack from both sides. That is the Democrats and the Republicans. Not that I say that they're on different sides, because frankly they're the same insipid pool of douchebags. But
yeah.
I'm saying simply that we're going to get attacked, quote, by our own and quote by the opposition, when really there is no opposition. We are the opposition. If you're listening to the show live or an archive, or you listen to Sammy Sanford's show, or you listen to Bard's Logic Political Talk, or you're involved in the Ron Paul movement, you are the resistance. And if they're sending flack to you, if they're wasting time hassling you, if they're trying to shut you down, that means you're doing something right. do more of it because the Republic needs all hands on deck. We outnumber them, and we can win. We just have to wake up. And these days, we've only got three choices, right? There's three ways to go. You know, this is the United States of America as a republic is not a spectator game. It's a full contact game, so you better get full contact. And your choices are Republicrats, Demopublicans, or awake. My suggestion to you is wake up, get awake. It doesn't matter which of the other two parties you vote for. They're both screwing it up. So let's wake up and let's do something real. And hopefully Ron Paul is about to give us something real. And I'm looking forward to what he has to say. Now, if he announces he's running third party, that's very exciting. If he announces that he's supporting third party, that's very exciting. If he announces something else, such as, you know, he's going to be working for Liberty, then, you know, I'll support that too. That just means that we got to find a different candidate. But anything he says will prove once again how right Ron Paul has been for decades. For decades.
Well,
good, Sammy.
Hey, Rex, you know when Nuke came on my show 2 nights ago, it shocked the living hell out of me. I mean, I had Mr. Speaker on my show. Does Mr. Speaker call into Romney Radio? No. Does Romney call into Romney Radio? No. And I'm sorry. I am blessed by having Mr. Speaker spend 18 minutes in
hey, Sammy,
one
Sammy,
second.
I appreciate that, and we'll pick it up after this, but I got to tell you, the Tonight Show just came back on, and I believe Ron Paul is going to be coming out. So if that's the case, I'm going to hold up my phone to the television so that everybody can hear him live. Of course, you can watch it yourself on your TV set or probably numerous clips later on. But I think it's important to hear what he has to say.
I agree.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Lord. I love it.
You had delegates, obviously you have popularity. Why didn't you get a speaking role?
Well, you know, on Sunday, before the convention started, we had our own rally, and we had about 11,000 people show up. And, of course, the convention was supposed to on Monday, but it
right.
was postponed because the hurricane didn't come.
Right.
But anyway, when we went over there, we had high expectations, thought maybe we could work things out. They said the tent was too small, we had too many people.
Well, let me ask you a question. Had you endorsed Romney, would you have gotten the speaking role?
I imagine I would have. Yeah, I think
really?
So.
I mean, do they make that? Is that a prerequisite?
It's not in writing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, kind of like NBC.
Okay, I get it. Yeah.
Now, your son, Senator Rand Paul, he spoke. Was that to appease your supporters? Is that why they did that?
Well, I think it would be hard to think that anything's done at conventions or party work, either party or in Congress, it's not political.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is political. So, you know, I think so. I think they are aware of the fact that there are a lot of people. See, we had nearly 2 million votes in the primary, but I think we had 2 or 3 million people who didn't want to particularly vote in the Republican primaries or independents and their Democrats,
right.
And which seems to me that would be a good reason to really opening up get a bigger tent for us, you know,
sure.
So that we can come in.
I saw people speaking there who didn't get nearly as far as you did, even a quarter of the way as far as you did, and they were allowed to speak. Now, what did you think of Romney's speech?
Well, it was nice. He said a lot of nice things, and it wasn't anything I could say, except a few. But, you know, it was very pleasant and all, but it wouldn't have been the speech that I would have given. I would have talked more about maybe foreign policy.
Yeah, there was no mention of the troops.
And I think it's pretty important. And the troops are awfully important in politics as well. Because even from the very beginning, you know, they do measure where your money comes from. And, of course, our campaign got the most money from the troops, from the military. And I think that that's hard for some people to believe, even though it's logical. Why would I was in the military for 5 years. I wasn't looking for somebody to stay in the war. It's an issue that I think is so important. Matter of fact, I have a political theory that says the peace candidate always wins, at least the one that is perceived to be the peace candidate.
Right.
Like President Bush, George W. Bush, in the year 2000, you know, he was wanting a humble for foreign policy and, you know, no nation building and no peace
right.
of the world. So, no, the American people, no matter what they say on the surface, I think deep down in our hearts realize we don't need war. We don't need more war. And you don't have as much prosperity.
What did you make of Clint Eastwood's talk?
Because it was really a talk. It wasn't a speech.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have given that one either.
Yeah, you wouldn't have given that one? No, I thought it was pretty good. One part I liked about it was he was critical of the president, and he said that President broke his promise. He said that he was, he was talking about the war, and he was going to close that war down. But he says, why don't you just bring those troops home tomorrow? You know, from out there. We had a discussion on, you know, the war issue, which to me is a very important issue. Peace is a very important issue. But
we talked earlier. You said something I thought was amusing, that when Clint Eastwood said bring the troops home, it got a huge applause.
Yeah.
Did you say the same thing?
On a couple occasions at debates, saying, did you ever hear of a presidential candidate getting booed at a hearing, you besides me?
Yeah.
No, I've been booed because I want to bring the troops home, bring them home. My slogan was, we just marched in, we can just march out.
Big question. Any chance you will run as a third party?
No, not much. I have to take a rest and prepare for 2016.
Yeah.
Why not give it a shot? Third party? The system is very biased. We talk a lot about democracy. We send our troops overseas. We want to spread democracy. But democracy isn't all that healthy in this country because if you're in a third party, an old party, you don't get into debates. The truth is, if I would have tried in the last several years to do exactly what I have done in a third party, I probably wouldn't have made it to your show.
Yeah.
But there is something about it that, and if you ever come to a conclusion, heaven forbid, that the two parties aren't all that different, then what is left?
Now, if you had had your own campaign billionaire, like some of the other candidates, do you think that would have helped?
A little bit.
Yeah.
That isn't the answer.
Yeah.
That isn't the answer. I think money is definitely a benefit. But, you know, sometimes the very wealthy candidates don't always win. But, no, I don't think it would. I think I recognize how hard a job we have, and sometimes it's rather frustrating that tomorrow we don't have this tremendous success. But the way I look at it is we're taking on a lot of special interests, the military-industrial complex. We're taking on the financial interests, Keynesian economics. And I think we've made pretty good strides in the last few years, but I still think we have a little ways to go, so money isn't it.
Yeah.
We still need a lot of people talking about issues. Matter of fact, we might even keep talking about the Federal Reserve System, things like that.
Says that Paul Ryan is the deficit
hawk.
Do you agree with that?
His talk sometimes is hawkish.
Yeah.
But no, I voted against the Ryan budget because he's a hawk, and the Democrats sort of play into it because they condemn him for being such a deficit hawk. But this points out a serious flaw in our budgetary process. They have these automatic increases for eternity, and that's called baseline budgeting. But if you cut baseline budgeting, that's a slash, even though it's a 30 or 40% increase from the year before. So it's all a fake. It's
right.
a fraud.
Okay.
And
are you going to vote on election?
Probably. I haven't missed very many.
Absolutely, you're going to vote for him.
Not giving up. No clue. I'll keep plugging along.
Well, it's always a pleasure.
Hey, great.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, we just heard from Ron Paul on the Tonight Show, and let me open up some of these mics. Obviously, he is at least stating that he is not running as a third-party candidate. Gentlemen, I'll open up the mic to you. Chris, Robert, Sammy, you want to go in that order? Chris, you want to go first? Or Sammy, go ahead, Sammy.
Right now, we are in the fight of our lifetime. As Mr. Speaker Newt Gingrich said on my show a couple of times, probably back in March or April, and if we're going to give up for Mitt Romney and accept him, you're accepting Barack Obama.
Yeah, what difference does it make? You know,
there's not a dime's worth of difference. As
no.
Judge Napolitano said, there's not a dime's worth of difference between
them. They're both oligarchs. And Ron Paul, look, and we've talked about this before, because I was getting flack quite a bit early on with from Newt Gingrich people because I was a Gingrich guy. I mean, why are you always talking about Ron Paul? I'm like, well, you know, because Ron Paul's right. Ron Paul is 100% right about the problems that are going on in Washington. I just didn't think that Ron Paul was the guy who could fix those problems because I thought Newt Gingrich was more effective because Newt went in there and he did it before. And I thought he had the skill set and the stamina to do it. Now, when the Republicans cheated and shut Newt out, and Ron Paul for that matter, I was hoping that Ron Paul would able to finagle some way to go a third party. And who knows, maybe he's still thinking about it. I don't know, but I would suspect, although I didn't hear him kind of endorse Gary Johnson today, primarily because I don't think that Ron Paul truly believes that Gary Johnson is a libertarian. He's kind of soft on the Federal Reserve, and he doesn't necessarily want to end the wars, which are Ron Paul's two biggest issues. But the fact is that we've got to look at this practically, and in my opinion, and I'm not saying that, you know, Gary Johnson's the answer, but, you know, the Libertarian Party is the third most viable party outside of the established Republican and Republican parties. So there's something to be said there for momentum. Now, who knows? Maybe there's going to be a write-in campaign for Ron Paul. We're going to have to investigate the state rules on write-ins because I believe in a write-in campaign, Ron Paul can win at least as much as Ross Perot did on the ballot. So who knows?
Amen.
So we don't know which way we're going yet, but I can tell you this. Whatever you do, if you're picking a third-party candidate who is not a communist, a socialist, or something like that, but someone who's somewhat libertarian or somewhat conservative, at least more so than Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, then what you will effectively create in Washington will be gridlock because you will have a Democrat-controlled Senate, a Republican-controlled House, granted rhinos, but still Republicans who have to pretend to be opposed to the Democrats, and a third-party presidency. That's more or less a shutdown of Washington, D.C., which, in my opinion, would be a wonderful opportunity for us grassroots to build something up from the, you know, for 2014 and 2016. Chris, I'm going to let you chime in, and then we'll hand it over to Robert.
I think that where you were just going, I had something else in my mind, but where you were just going with this concept of, you know, of establishing something, moving forward, giving people, you know, a voice, an option, because it's like I think it was last night. when I was on one of the shows, I said that, you know, a lot of these, like California, you know, they already figure Obama's going to win. So do what the hell you want in California. Pick a candidate. I think that the biggest reason that we are attacked so hard by the Romney machine, you know, I mean, the RNC is gone. It's Romney now. So it's the Romney
campaign.
So, yeah, so basically what we're dealing with here is they don't want the people to see the number. You know what I mean? How many times have we talked about, and Robert's talked about, oh, Perot hit 19%. He almost made a, you know, they don't, it's, everything is marketing. Everything is perception. Even if a third-party person does not win, the fact that all of a sudden third-party voting goes up 10 million people, it changes the whole dialogue in this country, and they can't afford that to happen. That's why our whole lives, how many people have grown up with the concept that this is a two-party country? Who the hell said this is a two-party country? Everywhere else in the world, they have multiple parties.
That's right.
You know, it's a marketing technique. But people are sick and tired. You know, you look at the numbers of people, 30 million Christians didn't even vote during the McCain era. You know, it's insane. People are numb. You know why they're numb? I understand why they're numb. All you got to do is look at our primary. Your freaking vote doesn't count. So why in the hell am I wasting my time or getting upset? It's all controlled by a handful of people. You know, that's the narrative behind people who go, I don't want to vote. Well, we just went through a primary, and I'd say the facts pretty much say that, so I can understand why they feel that way. But if we can inspire people to make a statement, like I said, you know, I've said this over and over, Obama wins or Romney wins, possible third party win, but can you imagine the statement we'd make if millions of people did it? It would shake these people to the core, because I believe that what's going to break the RNC is either a win, you know, a loss to Romney, or millions of people walk away and say, I'm giving you no more money. Because all you got to do is starve the beast. Everything's numbers. Everything's money and perception and marketing. I mean, that's it. That's how this whole country runs. There's nothing stable anymore.
That's right.
Anyway.
Hey, Chris.
Rex.
Here,
yes,
Rex. Let me interject here.
Sure.
We got to bring down Rent's pubic. We got to bring him down to the ground and remove him. There's only one way of removing him. And I will leave that one alone because I don't want to touch that on the show.
Okay. Robert, you want to chime in?
Sure. One, of course, as many I think are, you know, maybe a little disappointed that, you know, he said he wasn't going to run in a third party or even openly endorse Gary Johnson. However, Harriet in the chat posted that on Gary Johnson's webpage. There appears to be a post of Ron Paul doing some kind of endorsing of Gary Johnson on there. It'd be something to look at.
Okay.
You know, but I think the people, you know, are hungry for an alternative. An alternative, you know, to not just, you know, Obama, which of course we are, but also to Mitt Romney, but the system itself. It's so obvious now that, and it's been obvious for a while, but, you know, I think more and more people, it's now becoming more obvious that we're really a one-party system. And that's why, you know, I think it's time for a third party. I mean, it's been past time, in my opinion. And we do bring up that in 1 year, you know, Ross Perot got 19%. Now, you know, who do we throw our support behind now? Would it be, you know, a Tom Hoefling? Would it be a Gary Johnson? Maybe, you know, if they're, you know, I don't know. You know, that's something we'll have to decide and decide quickly.
Or
but what I do know is a short-term strategy would be definitely to find, you know, someone who has organization, and it could be either one of those two. I know the America's Party is looking to get on more ballots in more states in order to be able to have a possibility of getting the amount of electoral college votes. And remember, I mean, 270 with two parties is the magic number. That's not going to be. That would not be the case in a three-way system. You wouldn't need. I don't think you needed the 270 to win that. I think that'd be. You know, it could be impossible for someone to do that. So that's something to look at. And also in the long term, what I think is there is a commonality that all the or at least many of the third parties have, is that most of your third parties are grassroots movements. And what the RNC has done in plain sight has shown that they want to quell the grassroots. And, the Democrat Party is the same. But that's what these two parties want to do is quell the grassroots. And if we could come together, and what I mean by we is libertarians, constitutionalists, conservatives, if they can come together, and there's another group that people have been talking about lately on this show and on my show, Bard's Logic, is that, the Christians as well. But, push aside the differences and realize that, it's the grassroots, we the people movement that is at stake, and that's what we can rally behind in order to move forward to, pick someone to represent us in a third party.
I agree, Robert. And here's the interesting thing, because the mentality that we're all conditioned into, Chris was touching earlier on how we've been convinced about this two-party system, and he called it marketing. I'll take it a step further. It's propaganda. It's mass brainwashing. It's conditioning. You've been conditioned to believe that. The founding fathers despised parties. They called them factions. They despised them, and they never set up a two-party system. That's just the fact of what it came down to, which even in the countries with massive coalitions, unless they're in a transition period, there's usually two dominant factions, which is fine because it is relatively stable when those factions are, in fact, two separate and distinct philosophical views of how to govern within the current system. We have one view, and it is oligarchic control, and it's now permeated the parties themselves. They want a top-down, do-as-you're-told sort of management system, which will keep trending and trending towards more and more and more control. Now, part of the thing that we've been conditioned to think in is in terms of primaries, in terms of values, in terms of vetting a candidate for this reason, that reason, and that, under normal circumstances, that's fine. This isn't normal anymore. This isn't normal. Everybody needs to really pay attention here. You have a man in the White House, okay, who not only doesn't stand for our values, because some people in this country happen to share his values or what they think his values are because they're going to vote for him, okay? But there's one very important factor, and that factor to remember is that Barack Obama was born to an American woman, and I don't care where he was born. I don't care if it was in Hawaii, in Des Moines, Iowa, or in Kenya. It's irrelevant right now. So let's just assume that he was born in Hawaii, and let's just go with that fact. He was born to an American citizen, his mother, and a father who was a British subject. Therefore, Barack Obama is not a natural-born citizen. He may very well be a native-born citizen, but the Constitution calls specifically for a natural-born citizen, which means that he has to be a man born whose both parents at the time of his birth, or a woman, both of whose parents at the time of birth were both American citizens, who had both at some point in their lives resided within the United States, and one of them had to have resided there within the last 7 years. That is not the case with Barack Obama. He's an ineligible president. Mitt Romney is an ineligible Republican nominee because he was acclaimed by the RNC and he was not nominated by the delegates. I'm not saying that he might not have been nominated by the delegates, but we will never know because the delegates didn't vote. He was acclaimed by the RNC. So we have a situation where we have two potential opponents, okay? One's the incumbent, the other one is the controlled opposition. And whichever one of them wins, the same powers that have been fucking this country up for a long time will continue to do so. So it's time to think differently. Now, if you happen to be for traditional marriage or for the sanctity of life, you're going to have some significant difficulty with Gary Johnson. A better candidate for you is likely to be Virgil Goode of the Constitutional Party. But I have to be very honest with you. The likelihood of the Constitutional Party winning is as close to zero as it gets. The Libertarian Party has much more likelihood. Now, one would say, well, but Rex, you're a pro-life traditional marriage Christian. How could you vote for Gary Johnson? Well, look at my other two options, Barack Obama and Willard Mitt Romney. Those guys are terrible for traditional marriage. Romney has a horrible record as governor on traditional marriage. Obama is clearly not for traditional marriage. Both of them have absolutely atrocious records on abortion. So if I vote for another guy on one simple fact, and I'm not saying that I would, and I'm not saying that I'm endorsing Gary Johnson or that I'm voting for him. I'm just thinking about options, but this is the way you have to think about these options. If I vote for a guy who will cause gridlock by being opposed to the two parties in
Rex.
Washington. Yeah.
Rex, I'm seeing in the chat that says I can't hear you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that true? Is that true for everybody?
I just a couple people said
are we still
they
broadcasting?
Can't hear you, two people. It says, okay,
well,
yes,
probably
options.
Need
right,
to
Rex.
Refresh their page.
No kidding.
Harry, it seems to hear me. Yeah, it's just Harry. Yeah. Harry, can you hear me? Can you type in chat if you can hear me? Yeah, just refresh your page. Okay, now Kathy can hear me. Okay, great. Thanks, Robert. Thanks. Now I don't know where I was going. Oh, yeah. If the candidate, like Gary Johnson, who's not either Republican or Democrat, goes into Washington and causes gridlock, that's a benefit for pro-life cause. It's a benefit for traditional marriage because then Washington will essentially be impotent and you can work on the state level. And it also gives us time to work on electing the right candidates from the local level up in 2014 and time to find a better president for 2016. Because understand something. If you have an incumbent who's a Libertarian or, for example, a Conservative Party or Constitutional Party, if you have an incumbent who's one of those parties, the Democrats and the Republicans are going to come after him pretty hard in 2016. But we can have a better candidate in a fourth party. You see what I'm saying? So it becomes open. It becomes really nice. Some people are scared of that. Oh, it's too chaotic because there's too much change. Well, guess what? If you don't get change from where we are, you will get more of the same. And more of the same means that just different colored jerseys and more government control. Go ahead.
Well, here's a quote that I really like. It says, if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to have what you already got.
That's right. That's Barack Romney or Willard Hussein Obama.
And think about it. This goes for anything in life. If you really want to change something, whatever it is, okay, whatever it is in your life, what you have to do is you have to move out of your zone of comfortability. The only way to grow is to move out of your zone of comfortability. Once you can do that, it'll be something that, yes, it will be uncomfortable for a while. But then once you start seeing the benefits of that growth, then you will be like, you know, that wasn't so bad. Or, yeah, it was hard for a while, but we adapted. That's what we do. That's what we're going to have to do. That's what Americans have been doing since the beginning of the history of this country. It's a time, again, to get out of our comfort zone, grow, and work through it, and then we'll be much better off in the long run.
Well, and Robert, if we aren't much better off, okay, at least you will say that I exercise my full sovereign authority to try to make it better. But if you capitulate now and you don't fight, then you're part of the problem. I mean, in other words, if you truly know who Mitt Romney is, you know that he's not pro-life. You know he's not pro-traditional marriage. You know he's pro-Federal Reserve. You know he's pro-NDAA. Okay, you know he's pro-Obamacare because he wrote the damn thing before Obama did, called Romney Care, or whatever the hell they called it up in Massachusetts. You know he doesn't appoint conservative judges. You know he's a liar, okay? You know he's probably done illegal things to benefit himself and his buddies. So if you know all these things about Mitt Romney, which you can more or less level against Barack Obama, and you're afraid that Barack Obama is going to be reelected because he's going to be so terrible, then how on earth can you possibly support Mitt Romney? I mean, and don't give me the excuse, well, he's better than Barack Obama, because one, I'd argue that, A, he's not, and two, so what?
He's more ruthless. He's more ruthless.
And let's just say he's not, Chris. Let's say we're wrong, that Barack Obama's worse. What difference does it make? They're both terrible. I don't care which one's worse.
No, I'm saying Romney's more ruthless.
Well, I mean, you know, that's entirely possible. It's entirely possible, Chris. It's a fair assessment. I don't really care the degree of ruthlessness either one of them has. They both are terrible. They both stand against the U.S. Constitution. They both stand for the Wall Street-controlled oligarchy. They both stand for the foreign interventions and wars that we have no business in. Okay? Now, I'm not saying we don't go to war, and I'm not saying we allow Iran to get a nuclear weapon. Okay? But there are other ways to do it than to put our blood and treasure on the line. You can be much more strategic in your thinking. Okay? So it's time for us to look at things differently for several reasons. One, we're going to run out of money real soon. I mean, they can print up the storm of it, but that's only just going to make things much, much, much worse. We already are close to breaking our force, which means that a military draft will be coming down the pipeline. So if you have children or grandchildren, you better be careful who you vote for or who you vote against, because once we run out of soldiers to fight, you know, on five fronts, they're going to draft the kids. That's what they're going to do. That's Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. It doesn't matter. They'll both do that. So it's time to rethink who we are as a people. Are we going to stick to the Constitution, or are we going to continue down this path of monetary and foreign control of our government, basically? That's what happens, okay? So the way you do that is you do something different. Don't come at me with, well, Gary Johnson doesn't think Iran is a threat. Gary Johnson doesn't support Israel. Gary Johnson's for gay marriage. I don't know that Gary Johnson's for gay marriage. I haven't looked at him that closely, but I suspect as a libertarian, he doesn't care one way or the other. You want to get married and you're gay, he's fine with it, and you don't, that's fine with it too. He's for non-intervention. Now, the real issue, though, is not is Gary Johnson a great candidate, or is Virgil Good a fantastic candidate, or anybody else is a fantastic candidate. That's the luxury that you have when you have a party that has a fair process for making a nomination and your candidates like Newt Gingrich and Dr. Paul have a fair shot at getting it. That's clearly not the case. This is all fixed. This is all rigged. So you don't have the luxury of finding a candidate that you can get behind. You need to find a candidate who will simply oppose the other two in a manner significant enough to either beat them and cause gridlock in Washington, or to maim them so badly that whichever one of them wins goes in there without the support, perceived support of the people. Those are your two options. It sucks. I don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. But if you're truly conservative, that means you're a realist. This is the situation we're dealing with, and it's time for you conservatives to change your view of how things work, because we are not in November of 2011. We are not even in February of 2012. We are now in September of 2012. The Democrats are about to, quote, nominate Barack Obama, who is so far ahead in the polls as far as the Electoral College goes, that he's almost a shoo-in, and he will be an absolutely terrible president. And should George Soros and his diebold machines decide that it's time for Obama to go and they want us to have Mitt Romney, and they put him in place, nothing will get better. In fact, it will get so much worse, because so many people will think, oh, good, we switched teams, now everything will change. How much changed when George Bush left and Barack Obama became president? Oh, you're going to tell me that's when everything got terrible. No, that's not true. It mostly became terrible at the end of George Bush's presidency, and Barack Obama just made it worse. Okay, and what will happen this time is Mitt Romney, if he beats Barack Obama, will just make it worse. That's what's going to happen. Agreed. That's what you're facing. So it's time to change your strategy and your tactics and the way you're thinking. Stop thinking that a third party is unviable. Stop thinking that you're looking for a candidate who you can really love as much as you did Newt Gingrich or Dr. Paul, because you're not going to find one you like as much as either one of those that you liked before. So it's time to get real. It's time to get real. I'm not sure where we're going, and I'm not sure what I will do, but the fact is, in the last half hour of the show, I want to hear some of your thoughts on this gentleman. Obviously, we're not going to make a conclusion today. There's too much unknown, but obviously, we need to move the conversation in a direction. So, one of you want to chime in on this?
Well, I want to say you need to get pissed off.
Right. Are you telling me that to get pissed off?
I ain't fucking pissed off.
Careful what happens when you get Rex pissed off.
You know, what I need to say is I think a decision on who to rally behind is going to come or needs to come pretty quickly, you know, because we need to know who to rally behind, who to support, who to promote. Now, we could do it in two ways. One, you know, of course, just find multiple third parties, viable third parties, such as the America's Party, the Libertarian Party, Constitution Party. You know, take a look at them, you know, and then, you know, pick one or two out of the mix and then find which one to support. Find out as much as you possibly can about them, about their candidates, and, you know, where they are at and where they need concentration on where they're on the ballots, how many electoral votes they could possibly get, you know, things of that nature. Can they draw from the Republican Party, the independents, and the Democrats? You know, I mean, unfortunately, it's a lot of research that's going to have to be done in short order, or we just, you know, say, hey, look, well, it looks like it could be the Libertarian Party this time, or the Constitution Party, or, hey, let's look at the America's Party. We know that they're, you know, looking to get on more states. But I think that's what we need to do in the short term, is pick someone that has organization or a party that has organization, okay,
amen,
that has a possibility of beating, you know, Obama and Romney. Now, that's short term. Long term, in order to get more than 34% of the vote, if we can build a coalition of conservatives, libertarians, constitutionalists, from all, you know, from a multiple different, you know, parties, then, you know, I think that we can go beyond the 34% and maybe perhaps at some point get to be 50, 51%. That's one option. Or there's one system of government that I'm kind of partial to, and that's the Irish political system, where they have like five parties and they have to build coalitions in order to have a viable government. In order to write, and what the way they vote is they vote by preferential preferential option, but it's proportional preferential option.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's a very mathematically complex system. However, I think it gives the best representation, you know, for the people. But I mean, that's you know, way down, you know, the line.
Yeah,
but
Robert,
I think,
that's just way down because we have basically an oligarchic control, and these two parties are making these rules. And I think that the vision you just laid out is absolutely the right vision. And let me summarize this, and you tell me if I missed something, but just so that everybody hears it in a different sense. I think what Robert is saying, that we have to think both tactically and strategically. Tactically is the next 60 days. What are we going to do to stop Mitt Romney and Barack Obama from attaining the White House, or at least attaining it with the perception that they are popular, okay? And then strategically, it's how are we going to build something down the road that will allow us to exercise true constitutional governance of our federal government. Am I right, Robert, in the two angles?
Yes, I think so, definitely.
Well,
a pincer movement, as it were.
Well,
yeah.
Hey, Rick,
Sammy?
I got to leave.
Okay.
I got to leave. And,
Sammy,
God,
thank you for calling
you
in.
All. No, I enjoy the conversation. You know, I love you, Rex. I love Isabella. And I love Robert. I love Chris. I got to make a phone call. And if anybody needs to call me, I'll be up for a while. But right now, I got to make a very important phone call.
Okay. Please take care, Sammy. And, Sammy, what time will your show be on tomorrow night?
Well, I was thinking at 7 o'clock, but I don't see it making the greatest impact.
Okay.
So I'm going back to 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And that way I can run 3 hours a night. Number one thing is I will not cut into Robert's show.
Okay. So 9 to 11, Bars Logic, and then 11 to whenever, Sammy Sanford.
Amen.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see you guys there tomorrow.
We'll be here live.
Sammy, thank you. You have a good night.
Thanks, Sammy.
Well, y'all have a good night, and God bless you all. I got a very important phone call.
Do what you got to do, Sammy. Do what you got to do.
Okay.
We'll be here. Take care. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Bye. We got 25 minutes of show left, and I've got Chris and Robert on the line with me. The other thing, I think, Robert, that you brought up that I think is pretty powerful is
the objection that you will get to your proportional preference voting system, this is the objection you will hear from both the left and the right, or what they call the left and the right, both Democrats and Republicans, is that, well, with that kind of thing, then they have to build a government, and it slows things down, and they can't get things done. Hey, guess what, people? That's what we want. Okay? Why would we want that? Well, look, unless we're invaded by somebody else, okay, we don't need quick decision-making by one man. And let's be clear about something. Whoever the president is, if you're invaded by somebody, as commander-in-chief, he will act, and if he does not, I assure you that the generals will tell him to step out of the way, and they'll defend the country. Other than that, if the government is gridlocked, the federal government is gridlocked and can't do anything, that's great, because guess what? It gives your other government an opportunity to do something and assert its power. You have to remember something. We talk about the Supreme Court. We talk about the House. We talk about the Senate. We talk about the president like he's a god. But the fact is that we've got 50 governors, 50 bicameral legislative houses, and 50 Supreme Courts. So even if you were to wipe out the federal government tomorrow and make it not exist, you will not live in chaos or anarchy. Because you have a government. It's in your state capital. You have to remember that this is the system that was set up. We've been so conditioned to think of everything happening in Washington that we sometimes forget that we have local government. It's your state government and your local governments. It exists. It's there. So even if the federal government were to disappear, you wouldn't live in a lawless country. You would just live in a country without a central head, which is only a problem in times of war when you're being invaded. And even then, it can be worked out. Am I right, gentlemen?
Oh, I agree. I really agree with that. And it has been. It really has been where all the focus. And, you know, I'm even take personal blame for that myself. And see, I've thought mostly and concentrate mostly on the national stage. I mean, you know, for quite some time. And I don't know if it's just an interest of mine or if it's a conditioning. How we've been conditioned. I think there's it's a part of both. Because I have a tendency to think on a grander scale. So, you know, I think more on the national front than I do, state by state. But yeah, I also think because you hear more about, you know, the power of the federal government and how the federal government, in a lot of ways, trumps the state governments. And from my understanding, it was never supposed to be that way.
Yeah. Chris, or. You interested in jumping in on what we're saying?
No, my headset went off on me, so I was getting everything plugged in and getting the phone to work. Had to release
Understood.
It from the headset. Sorry.
Understood.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, look, I think that everybody's fear is that things are different, okay? Now, I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine, and this is to all the listeners. And by the way, we've got about 20 minutes of show left. If anybody else wants to chime in, 646-649-1013. If you're posting any questions in chat, I have to be very honest with you. I have a tough time keeping up with it. So if you've got a question that you'd like to ask, that's the number to call in. And you don't have to stay on the show and have a long conversation. You can just pop in and ask your question, and we'll answer it. 646-649-1013. But imagine that you're living in this country, in a southern state, say, you know, North Carolina or Georgia, okay? And there's this party called the Whigs that seems to be falling apart because they have lost track of their principles. And so you've got this Democratic Party, and don't envision the Democratic Party that you see today because they weren't socialist progressives at the time. They were just slightly different than the Northeast established parties like the Whigs. And the party's falling apart, and a new party is formed, and it's called the Republican Party. And they have a couple of conventions and don't place anywhere. And then they have this convention to elect a guy named Seward, and he ends up falling flat on his face, and they elect this nobody lawyer from Illinois named Abraham Lincoln, who becomes president and then proceeds to declare war on half the country because they decided to secede. Let's not talk about the issues of why it happened, but then you have a war for 4 years, 600,000 Americans die, and at the end of that, guess what? The Republic lives on. Okay? So we've been through worse times
yep.
before. We've been through far, yep. far worse before than where we are now.
that doesn't mean you sit back and go, oh, okay, that's no big deal. You know, everything sucks and I'm okay with it. No, it means you stand up and you fight. Now, I'm not talking about bullets like, you know, the war between the states at this moment. That's not where we are, and I don't want to even entertain that option. But you do have a voice. You do have Facebook, Twitter, blog talk, radio, letter writing, campaigning. You can campaign on a local level for those who support your principles and your values. And you can build coalitions with people who you might somewhat be uncomfortable with, but you agree on the issue of liberty. You're a pro-lifer, you want freedom. You want that child to not be murdered in the womb. If you're, a casual pot smoker, maybe you want freedom because you want to smoke pot. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I will take common cause with you to fight against Obama and Romney. So we don't have to agree on all the issues. We don't have to agree even on general cultural trends. We don't have to agree on a particular candidate as far as, hey, I like this guy, because I don't really think I like Gary Johnson all that much. But I do know that he was in a few of the Republican debates. I know that he is in the Libertarian Party, which is a very viable party as far as third parties go. It has placed more. It's actually had candidates in certain offices. I'm not suggesting that Gary Johnson is the answer. I'm just throwing it out there as an idea. Maybe it's Virgil Good. Maybe it's a write-in campaign. I'm not sure. We're going to develop this. And on the air, we'll be talking about these various options in more detail in the next few weeks. But the most important point to understand is you do not have to be scared to go out norm and vote in a way that is not just R or D, red or blue. Because at this stage of the game, either way you vote, it doesn't make a hell of a lot of difference. This country's going to get worse. Don't even think for a second either of these guys is going to help make things better. They're both going to make it worse. So you've got to beat both of them. It's a daunting task, but it can be done. You just have to realize that you've got to build coalitions with people that you might not be comfortable with. And I know, Chris, you've been doing that for quite some time, so go ahead and jump in.
Noel, you just triggered something. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I started building, reaching across that aisle to the Paul supporters slowly several months ago, and I have several of them on my group, and I'm watching stuff they post, and they're challenging our ideas, and everybody's having civil discussions. It's really pretty flipping cool. But I think that something you were talking about, the things that we can do, one of the greatest things we can do is to educate ourselves. And I think that's important. People don't understand. When I've had arguments with people saying, well, Romney won 52% of the vote. He should be the candidate. And I'm going, we're not a democracy, stupid. And it's amazing how few people understand, why our forefathers put together a republic. Because the masses are idiots. They, like Austria voting in Hitler to save them. That's like a oxymoron of all oxymorons, And these people that think Obama is actually going to save the country with this, new polished version of socialism, Marxism. I mean, you go, you can't be that stupid. And for those of us who grew up in the Cold War, we know who the enemy is. It's pretty simple. And so a lot of it has to do with education, because you're not getting the education in school. And if your parents are dingbats, no offense to anybody, you have got to go educate yourself. You've got to learn about the founding of our country. You got to learn about our Republican system. You got to, read the Declaration, like you said to that, what's his lips, Carl or whatever his name was. But you got to get in groups. And I think this is really important, because I've been in a lot of groups. You got to find groups where people think and post good information and have good debates, and you see people challenging people's thinking, and people, being willing to have their thinking challenged. That's the kind of groups you want to be in, because 90% of them are chat rooms where people gossip, and that isn't going to educate you. I mean, that's wonderful if you want to have friends, that's a lovely thing, but I really wanted to work and learn. I want to surround myself by people who are smarter. I know that's not the right word. But, people who are more knowledgeable than I am in things, so that I am challenged to learn more. I was on the phone with Tom Holfling, the America's Party. I got on the phone, I got through Robert, and we got on the phone and we talked. And I asked him questions, and I asked him, you know, how are you going to win, and what's the strategy, and why are you doing what you're doing, and what motivates you? You've got to find out and learn about people. I was on the phone with Kelly Mordecai yesterday for a good hour and a half, and we're talking about doing a States' Right radio program, which, Rex, you'd be awesome in, you know, explaining how all these civil liberties that we've lost, even the abortion issue, gun issues, right down the line of all these things that are important to you that you keep thinking you're going to find the perfect president to fix that isn't ever going to fix these problems for you, why those things can be solved by giving back the power to the states, which brings it closer to the people, the communities, where real people are involved. I mean, so we want to have a show on stuff like that. So, you know, it's getting around the right people. It's getting on the right groups. It's getting on the blog radios. It's going beyond yourself and connecting with people who want to teach you, you know, because one thing I've learned about people who are either very wealthy or very knowledgeable, they really want to help other people know what they know. Not the Mitt Romneys, but, you know, but
those who
aren't
rich. Those who are.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that, Chris.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right.
And
challenging.
That's important. You know, and that's important to do that. But I mean, I can't fathom how much I've learned in the last 4 or 5 months. More than I think I ever really wanted to learn. There's times I wake up going, I almost wish I didn't know what I know to have seen the ugliness that I've seen in this country, you know, at the base level. But there's another thing it does to you if you're a patriot and you give a crap, is it makes you mad. Because that's the last thing that we're missing. Too many people are fearful when they should be mad and offended. Too many people are fearful when they should be and cowering in fear looking for a savior when they should be looking to themselves and looking to those concepts of the heroes that produce this country and have fought and died for this country and say, I am one of those people and I need to step up to the plate. So,
I agree with that statement. Perfect. No, Chris, that's perfect. That's great. You're absolutely right. I mean, trying to find the perfect candidate is a foolish attempt. And if you're looking for a savior, I'm going to clue you in a little something, and I'm not saying this to you, Chris. I'm talking to the audience. But if you're looking for a savior, let me tell you something. He was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. He's still alive. He's still involved. And he's coming back to seriously kick some ass, so you'd better be ready at some point. And when I say that, I mean, I don't know, maybe he comes back in my lifetime, maybe he doesn't, but if he doesn't come back in my lifetime, that means I'm going to go meet him first. Either way, you got to be ready for that. So just to be clear, it's always good to pick a candidate for president, for Senate, for local dog catcher, I don't care, who truly shares your value and understands our culture vis-a-vis the Judeo-Christian background and philosophy, the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution. However, rarely will that actually be the case. And if you want it to be the case, then it is time for you to get yourself and your children educated so that hopefully there will be a larger pool of good candidates in the future. In the meantime, we're in survival mode. We're very close to having a serious, serious problem. And the only way to solve it is to not allow Barack Obama or Mitt Romney to be in the White House.
Right.
So if you're looking for the guy, well, he's experienced, or he's good on foreign policy, or he's a friend of Israel, or he's pro-life, or he's pro-traditional marriage, or he's going to audit the reserve, or whatever your issue might be.
Whatever they're lying about.
Yeah, but I hate to tell you this, but you're not going to find that guy in this election cycle, maybe like Ron Paul said, 2016. But if you want to make it to 2016, then you need to find a third-party candidate or possibly some write-in. And we'll do some research here. I'm sure lots of people are. We'll get them to call in. And on these shows, we'll try to get you this information. In the meantime, build coalitions because you need to bring more people on board.
You bet.
The fact is
Sorry.
Go Chris. Oh, go.
I have something I wanted to add because I really got a kick at it. I'm not promoting Gary Johnson, but I posted his ad, and Robert actually played it last night. But at the end of his ad, it was so perfect because he goes, you know, he was talking about, you know, it's crap out there right now, basically. And, you know, why don't you take the chance and go and try libertarian for one season? And he goes, and if balanced budgets, because he has a hell of a record, you know, as governor. I mean, we're talking stupendous record, you know, an accomplishment. And so he goes, if balanced budgets and smaller government and all those things aren't for you, you can always, you know, basically in 4 years, you can vote back crime and corruption right back in if you want. And it was just you know, you have to watch the ad. It was just,
where was this?
I'm tired. It was a Gary Johnson ad.
You can find it on the web.
Well, and he also says, he goes, you know, some people complain that, you know, a Libertarian Party candidate will pull from the left and the right. And he goes, and I say good, because it's time for something new. I mean, the ad was awesome. And it was, like I said, it wasn't, I'm not promoting Gary Johnson, but the message was so good, because when are we going to quit being slaves to people who do not share our values?
Right. Chris, let me ask you this question. If you know that Mitt Romney is a disaster, and you know that Barack Obama is a disaster, okay, and we can have an argument about which one's the bigger disaster, but either way it's a disaster, what the hell do you have to lose by voting for Gary Johnson or Virgil Good or writing in Ron Paul or Newt Gingrich? What do you have to lose?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Mitt Romney.
What do you have to gain?
Right.
What do you have
possibly,
to gain?
Possibly everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, think of it this way, right? Go ahead, Robert.
No, I was just going to say, here's an example. There's an article I found on the America's Party. So, they have a page on Facebook. And they just, there's an article that, that get posted. It says, Jane Romney, my brother won't ban abortions. I guess talking about Mitt Romney. I'm going to put the article in the chat for
please
the folks that'd like to read it.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking at his record, we know this. So, I mean, you know, if anybody has any pipe dreams, well, Mitt Romney might at least appoint a conservative judge. Well, he never did in Massachusetts. So why the hell would you think he's going to do it now? Look, it's real simple, all right? Whether it's Barack Obama or Mitt Romney, and that has as much to do with how many morons vote this way or that way, or possibly just simply with the Diebold machines. Actually, it's kind of interesting. They're called Diebold machines. So if this country's going to die, let's die bold. You don't have to participate in the killing of this country. So whichever asshole they're going to pick to run the government, you don't have to give either one of them your vote, and you can say, hey, I didn't vote for either one of those jerks. If they're going to, one of them's going to win anyway, why would you want to participate? Go vote for somebody else.
And here's key to this, Rex. It is important just by how Sammy's been attacked and how the RNC, they knocked the Constitutional Party off of Pennsylvania because they couldn't fight them anymore, couldn't afford to fight them. And the Libertarian Party, they challenged 40,000 of 44,000 signatures, like what they did to Newt. And then there was another state last night, the court told the RNC to F off. So, you know, if they didn't matter, why would they be doing this? These guys are running on a shoestring. Come on. I mean, think about what Romney has done to the conservative base and the seizing of a dictatorship and burning the Constitution at the RNC last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there are people. He has only won. How has he won? Suppressing the vote and probably the damn machines. So you think about that. He's running a race. They're playing two things. One, they want to beat Obama, and some people would argue that. Two, they want to beat the conservatives. And they're playing them both at the same time, and they figure Obama gave them the opportunity to put a progressive in power, kick the Tea Party, finally put us, you know, the grassroots into the grave politically, and seize control of this country. That is the goal. So the question is, are you one of those Austrians that voted in Hitler? Come on, people. This isn't difficult. This isn't rocket science. You know, you got to look out the window and go, my country's on fire, and the R's are not going to save it this time.
Exactly, Chris. And look, here's the amazing thing. All right, let's just think of it this way. Let's just say there's no chance that a third party can win. And I'm not saying that because I think that a third party can win. But let's just say there's absolutely no chance a third party can win. Is that an excuse for you
to vote for murder by A or death by B. Right? I mean, just think about that. Just because there's no chance, does that mean that you have to capitulate and say, well, okay, I guess then we're going to have to commit suicide this way with Mitt Romney, or we're going to have to get murdered this way with Barack Obama? You don't have to participate in that. So if we're going to lose anyway, why would you want to be complicit?
I know.
Right.
How about that? How about that Josh Tawley video that we've all seen that I put on there, the Ron Paul guy that did that whole talk on what are you going to tell your – how are you going to explain your Mitt Romney vote to your children?
Yeah.
You know? And the way
you
explain
that,
oh, my God, you just – you have to wake up and look in the mirror and go, am I insane or am I sane? Am I free or am I a subject? Just, you know, drink more coffee. I don't know. Hit yourself on the head.
Wake up. In this world, I'm only subject to one king, and his name is Jesus Christ. Other than that, I am sovereign. Now, I'm a participating citizen of my state, and by extension, these United States. So I will vote, and I will participate, and I agree that I have ceded some of my sovereignty to order our lives together. But that doesn't mean that I will cooperate or be complicit with that which is intrinsically evil and wrong and criminal, okay?
Yeah.
And nobody has to. And the fact is most Americans are good, moral people. Why would you vote for immoral guy A and immoral guy B? It doesn't make any sense. And frankly, if you're going to, at least if you're going to vote for an immoral guy, vote for a moral guy C so that A, B, and C can't get along. But if you give a D or an R to either the Senate or the House, I assure you things are going to get real, and they're going to get real, real fast, and you're going to be uncomfortable with it. So my recommendation is get uncomfortable now and vote for someone you don't necessarily agree with, so long as it's not Mitt Romney and it's not Barack Obama, or get real uncomfortable later when you go, holy shit, I don't live in America anymore. Because people around the world have had this experience, and guess where they all came running to? The United States of America. Where the hell are you going to go? Soviet Russia? Communist Cuba? I mean, sorry, communist China or Putin's Russia? Are you going to go somewhere in the Middle East? That's real safe. Are you going to go to socialist South America or chaotic Africa? Where are you going to go? You're not going anywhere. You're living right here. You live and die here. So at least stand up and say no loudly enough. In the meantime, what you can do is reach out to people who might be voting for Mitt and tell them what the hell's wrong with them, with him, and get them to change their mind. You might also want to ask them what the hell's wrong with them, but I'm just kidding. Be nice. And reach out to other people and reach out to everybody. And let me tell you something. I think you can get some of the Occupy Wall Street kids on board. You've got the Campaign for Liberty. You've got the Ron Paul Revolution. You've got what's left of the Tea Party. If we bring all these people together, we can win. So tell them about Sammy's show. Tell them about Robert's show. Tell them about Tex and Rex. Tell them about Chris's Facebook groups. Let's just get connected and figure out which way we're going to vote. And let me tell you something. Even if we don't vote for a winning candidate, if more of us vote for those third parties than either of the two majors, it will be a pretty loud, resounding repudiation and a vote of absolute no confidence in the current idiot in charge. That's a very powerful thing. Okay, that's a very powerful thing. Now, we only got 1 minute left, so why don't you guys go? Robert, take 20 seconds, and Chris, take 20 seconds, and I'll close it out.
Okay, well, great for opening up this forum for us tonight, Rex, and I look forward to hearing you on the show again. Are you on, 8 to 10 o'clock on Monday through Friday? Friday and Saturday evenings.
Friday and Saturday, that's probably what we're going to do. I haven't, like I said, Texas on special assignment, but we're working on that. But I'll make that announcement soon.
Okay, thank you. And thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being on, Robert. Thank you for your show. Now, check out Robert Jetter on Bars Logic Political Talk. And Robert, you're 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time now?
Yes, Sunday through Thursday.
Okay, great. We'll see you there.
Cool.
And Chris, would you like to final thoughts?
I think you nailed it, and I think this is really important because people are so worried about winning and losing, and what they need to understand is that we've already lost.
And the worst case scenario, I mean, the cool thing would be a total revolution and a win in a third party and just totally shock the system. But worst case scenario, because how many times have we talked about Ross Perot got 19% and Ross Perot got 19%? We, you know, that's the thing. We say it. We whisper it in the night, you know, because everybody's thinking about, God, we need a third party. Everybody hates these two parties. So what happened if we lose and one of those two yahoos, you know, get the presidency, but 30, 33, 34, 35% of America votes for another party. You know what that will do for the future of this country? The worst case scenario. Yeah, the worst case scenario is we set our future in motion and these parties are going to be, it ain't going to be no thrill up a leg. It's going to be something else going down the leg. They're going to be nervous.
And
like
it's a great analogy, and thank you both for being on here. And I really put this together tonight to give Ron Paul a voice. I was hoping he would make a different kind of announcement, but either way, I think that both he and Dr. Gingrich will be players in whatever we end up doing, and I think we need to keep an eye on both of them. And I believe that actually we're in recording time, but whoever's listening to this, usually our archive shows are more popular. It's very important that you get active. Don't think that now that the conventions are over that you can just sit back and, you know, pull the lever for douchebag one or douchebag two in November. Do more than that. Get educated, build coalitions, and let's actually make our vote count. And when I say make your vote count, that doesn't mean that you're going to vote necessarily for the guy you like this time, because that's probably not an option. But you will at least be able to not vote for two guys who are going to be absolutely disastrous for our economy, for our fiscal situation, for our military situation, and probably in every other possible way. Both of them have to be removed.
Yeah, all those social issues that people are concerned with. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, you know, everybody can complain about how Gary Johnson is or how, you know, this candidate or that candidate or Ron Paul or whatever on the social issues. We're not comparing them to the correct social issues. We're comparing them to the likelihood. Because let's face it, it is a likelihood that either Barack Obama or Mitt Romney will win. If it was a true election, I think Barack Obama would destroy Mitt Romney hands down. And the only chance I see for Mitt Romney to win is the Diebold machines being in his favor because Soros decided he wanted Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm
mm-hmm.
not going to participate in that. I don't think anybody who's a true American should participate in that disaster. And more importantly, even if one of those two guys gets in there and we send him in there limping, we send a strong enough message, and we start building something real that we can recover from this. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. But guess what? We're Americans. We've been here before. We'll probably be here again. But we don't ever have to give up because we can win. And that's the most important thing. So I thank you both for being on here. I thank all the listeners. I know you can't hear me unless you listen to this in recording time, but thank you for all the listeners. And Tex and Rex will probably be broadcasting 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday and Saturday. And I especially want to thank Arlene for getting our show out there. She is absolutely wonderful in promoting our show all over Facebook, and we really appreciate that. And I want to thank the two gentlemen on the call with me and, of course, Sammy Sanford, because without him, none of these shows would probably be here, because I think he inspired a bunch of us to do this.
Exactly.
And I want to tell everybody within my voice, you're an American. You're an American. There's only 330 million of us out of a planet of 7 billion. It's a privilege. It is an honor. And it is a sacred duty for you to stand up as an American. And do not vote for oligarchs. Do not vote for thieves. Do not vote for liars. Willard Mitt Romney is a Manchurian nominee. And Barack Hussein Obama is a Manchurian candidate. Both of them work for foreign powers that seek to destroy the United States of America. Do not dirty and bloody your hands by voting for either one of them. Find another home. Tune in to Sammy Sanford's show. Tune in to Bard's Logic Political Talk. Tune in to Tex and Rex. Find Chris Schiffler's groups on Facebook. And get busy learning, educating, and finding a new way to vote. Right now, we have to stop this from happening, but don't forget that you also have your state and local elections, and the Ron Paul revolution has taken over many of the local GOPs.
Yep.
Okay?
you need to get involved because we're going to have to do, as Robert said, a pincer move. We got to chop the head off, which is the federal government, and we got to go from the legs up, which is the local precincts and districts, and meet in the middle and refashion what America is. And it's not so much about going back as it is about moving forward.
Yep.
With the Constitution as our guiding light. Not any,
you know,
personality.
I have something, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry,
ahead.
Rex. I have something really important to say because you said it's not so much about going back. I think one of the challenges and why there's so much dysfunctionality and so few people voting in the conservative or the Christian blocs is they keep thinking about the glory days of Reagan. And it's really important to understand is we're not going to recreate that environment. We've got to create our own new constitutional environment. And you know, Newt may have a lot of, important parts in the future of this country, but right. Whether he runs or not, whether we get a chance to fight for him or not as a politician, that's a whole other conversation. It may not happen. The thing we have to realize is it's our, you know, Reagan-esque future to build. Quit trying to live in the past. You know, the glory days are ahead of us, not back in the 80s.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that it's important to look at the lessons we can learn from the 80s, both the mistakes
mm-hmm.
and the successes. But, yeah, the future is tomorrow. It isn't 30 years ago, and it certainly isn't the 1950s. It's not the 1860s. It's not even 1776, okay? The future
yep.
is tomorrow. And we have to encounter the future as it comes in a true and realistic sense of where we are in the world. But we must always keep our feet firmly on the ground of our Judeo-Christian heritage, the Declaration of Independence, and the U.S. Constitution. And sometimes
yep.
in order to get there, you have to suck up and accept your favorite thing because it's not going to happen. We can sit there and cry all day about Newt Gingrich not being the nominee. We can cry all day about, oh, I don't have an opportunity to vote for a truly pro-life Christian candidate. Or, oh, my goodness, all of the guys that running, you know, are pro-gay marriage. You can cry about these things, or you can find the one who is likely to cause, A, the least damage, and, B, possibly some positive things. 100% guaranteed that is neither Barack Obama or Mitt Romney. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be frightening. But you're an American. You have to do this. And we're standing with you. I got Chris. I got Robert. I got Sammy. I'm here. Tex is on special assignment. He'll be back later this week. But we're all together, and we are millions. We are millions.
Can I do one last thing?
Please.
Okay. You know, another thing, too, when you're vetting the candidate, you've got to look at their record. You know, because I have heard people say so-and-so is a great Christian pro-life candidate, and I knew their record, and it was a lie. So
mm-hmm.
it's really important that you have to look at the record. Plus, the other thing, outside of these issues that are so near and dear to your heart, because I don't want to minimize those, that are important, you need to look at their governing experience. Because if you look at a guy, and he was a governor for 8 years, I'm thinking of Gary Johnson, but I don't want to sound like I'm promoting him. But he has some issues over here you're not comfortable with. But if you look at his governing record and you go, my God, the guy cut budgets. He dropped taxes 15 times. He never put a penny of entitlement increased taxes on his constituencies. He got voted in 2 terms in a row in a Democratic, 2-1 Democratic state. He made changes. He had 750 vetoes, 1,200 line item vetoes, and he did what he said he was going to do. And so when you look at the record, that's the thing that you have to, you know, like I said, I don't want to sound like I'm promoting Johnson, but you go, wow, I don't like this, but that right there would change my country. And, okay, what's the best, you know, how do I view this thing? And that's so important. Look at their records, not their rhetoric.
Exactly.
Sorry, Rex.
Chris, again, I agree. We're not promoting Gary Johnson, at least not at this stage of the game yet. We might end up doing that. We've, you know, only come out
right.
of the shock of Tampa now, what, like less than a week? You know?
Yep.
Right.
There's
exactly.
not a lot of time, so we can't be shell-shocked too long. But right now the conversation is about building coalitions and getting information.
Right.
But I got a question for both of you guys. Gary Johnson mm-hmm. was governor for 8 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that mean that he has more executive experience than the two douchebags running combined?
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And he has a record to prove
it. Alone, there's that. His record is actually, his record is actually pretty good. Now, there are certain issues I got serious problems with. But as important as those are, Chris, and you mentioned that they are important as they are, what relevance do they have when I have no chance of furthering those issues with either of the other two guys?
Yeah,
right.
And if you don't restore fiscal soundness to this country, you can forget all of the issues because we will devolve into a third world banana republic.
Yeah.
And then you can forget about pro-life, traditional marriage, or anything else that's important to you because things will be so chaotic, it is likely to more or less be a situation of tribal and civil war.
Yeah,
so
people don't get that.
We need to restore fiscal sanity so that we can work in a Republican, small r, constitutional framework and do the other things that we all know are right. So, you know, just understand that the game has changed dramatically and quit thinking in primary mode. We are not in the primaries. We're in a general election, and we are a large electorate without a candidate. We have to find one, and that's what this conversation is going to be, and it will continue tomorrow. Robert, you want to tell us what time it continues tomorrow and where, and then we will close off.
Okay. And then, I think you both know I have the interview with Tom Hoefling on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. Yep, 9 o'clock. Yeah, I normally don't do live shows on Friday, but that's the only day I could accommodate with his schedule. He's working on trying to get on more ballots, and I think a lot of the deadlines are this Friday.
Okay. Excellent. Well, what time? That is at 9 o'clock this Friday?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Bart's Logic Political Talk, and that means that I am free to be on Robert's show and don't actually have to do a Tex and Rex, which I'm very excited about because I'm actually not going to be back in the ninth circle of hell known as the Capitol Beltway or around Washington, D.C. until after this weekend. And I would rather not have to run a show from here, but I will be on Bar's Logic Political Talk, and the conversation will continue with Chris and Paul and Sammy and Tex and all the great patriots who call in and all of you who listen, because we have to form coalitions, and we have to find an answer that is not Mitt Romney and is not Barack Obama, and we will restore soundness to this country. It's going to be an uphill battle. It's going to be a many election cycle battle, but the important thing here is don't let the oligarchs win and don't reward their bad behavior of stealing elections and stealing nominations. I would love to tell you this is Tex and Rex signing off, but Tex is on special assignment. So this is Rex signing off, and this conversation continues. You're an American. Stand up. Be counted. Don't vote for the top of the ticket. I don't know about the bottom, the local elections, but at the top of the ticket, whatever you do, do not vote Romney. Do not vote Obama. Good night. And God bless.
God bless.
Good night.